welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
This morning I sort of, you know, spent some time before the Lord, and I kind of had an attitude of, I don't know, relaxed. Well, maybe the testimonies will go on for so long I won't need to speak. And God began to speak and gave me a very specific, and actually what I think is a really important word. So he's obviously not having August off. It's not a wibble-wobble word, I'm afraid. No wibble-wobble this morning. But it is picking up on some of the stuff that happened at camp, and even some of the stuff that I said at camp. And we had a good unit at camp, didn't we, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire? I praise God for that. Much better than the lot we had last year. It's all the same people, in case you're wondering. Hallelujah. Yeah, we had a great time. It was a really good unit. I loved the atmosphere. I suppose people will say, well, you weren't there very much, but I was really. Hallelujah. It was a very busy camp for me. I don't know if you've heard the news from the Thursday night, which you should all know, you all need to know as part of Kingdom Faith, and that was that on Thursday night, Pastor Colin announced that he was standing down from leading Faith Camp now, and Pastor Clive will be taking that over. And so we are... It's interesting, and Pastor Clive was talking a lot about restructuring the leadership, which of course is exactly what we've been talking about, what needs to happen here. So we're right in the flow. Pastor Colin obviously is going to be very much in the leadership of Kingdom Faith, although he's resigning from the elders, but he'll be doing what he's anointed to do, which is being the apostle and bringing the key word. Yes. In fact, I reckon next year at Faith Camp, you'll probably hear some more powerful, the most anointed words you've ever heard from Pastor Colin, because he won't be carrying the weight of responsibility for Faith Camp. He's passed it on to his son with a smile. Hallelujah. So that was quite dramatic, him announcing that, but it's very exciting as well, you know, because and it was real confirmation to me that we're doing exactly the right thing with the raising up of leaders and stuff like that. Anyway, that's kind of what I want to talk about. We'll get back to that. Pastor Colin started the whole camp. He did a lot of teaching this year. It was really a classic Faith Camp. It was Faith Camp classic, really. There was no guest speaker this year. Well, Ben Felderman was there, but he's kind of becoming Kingdom Faith anyway these days. But so we had a lot of Pastor Colin teaching. We had a lot of Pastor Clive teaching. We even got some Pastor Paul Abel teaching on a Sunday morning. But... Hallelujah. At Kingdom Faith Yorkshire got some good exposure at Faith Camp this year. Hallelujah. Which we like. Hallelujah. Because God's doing a work here. We want to share it. Yeah. There was a lot of excitement over Street Angels. That caused quite a buzz. We even got to show that video. You know, the one that we showed here that's going around the police stations. If you're walking through Scarborough on a night time, you might see it being shown, actually, because the council are going to be using it on their van that goes out promoting what happens in Scarborough. So Scarborough Borough Council will be promoting the Street Angels' vision of taking the practical love of Christ to the streets in partnership with the police. Hallelujah. Thank you. God is opening up all kinds of doors. Yeah, we've got exciting times ahead. We really, really have. You know? Pastor Colin opened a Faith Camp talking about grace. That's what I was going to say a minute ago. And that's what's happening here. You know, everything that's happening is a work of grace. I really believe, Sunday morning I preached from Ephesians chapter 2 about being seated in heavenly places. That was the wibble wobble, but you'll have to get the DVD. I tell you, you'll see some funny antics on the front row if you ever do. But it's well worth watching. We watched it last night. Hallelujah. Could have done with a bit more, but, you know, it was embarrassing enough as it was for the leadership. Pastor Michael Barling. I don't know how many of you know Pop. Do you know Pastor Michael? Some of you will. He used to be an elder of Kingdom Faith, but now he's down in the southwest with Judith Butler. And he whispered to me afterwards, he said, well... He said, there may be a miracle next year. Just the one. There may well be a miracle next year. And he's, what's that then? He said, if Pastor Colin ever lets you preach again. And that was the wibble wobble. But by the grace of God, it was actually a very powerful word. I spent all week with people coming up to me, telling me how they've been set free by this, by this unusual talk. Anyway, you wouldn't have been so surprised. You know me. How about this morning, though? Because we are moving into a period of grace. As you know, well, I suppose we're always in a period of grace, aren't we? We are moving into a period of change, and you're thinking we've only just changed. Well, change is here to stay. We'll always be changing because we're always running after the Lord. And if we ever stop moving, he's going to get away from us. And we're not having that. All right? He's zooming off on his Harley Davidson and we're just clinging on the back with our feet flying in the air. I don't know if God does ride a Harley Davidson, but it's a good picture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, starts off with, because of his great love for us. Some people doubt whether God loves us, but it's there. It's in the Word. If we believe the Word, we know. It doesn't say, because of his great love for us, except for Brenda Orthwhite and her friend Mavis. Other than that, God loved us. There's no exception. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's all about him. Yeah? It is by grace that you've been saved. This special favor of God. Nothing we can do. Nothing. All done for us. We've just got to believe, but even the faith to believe is given to us. And then it says, it's by grace that you've been saved. And then it says this line that I spoke on Sunday morning last week at Faith Camp. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Here it is again. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, because then no one can boast. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Amen. Now that was kind of what I spoke from Sunday. We just need to look at that a little bit, because we're gonna go on from that. And that, as we go on from that, I really think that's where it's not like a woohoo message. It's just a very calm, collected message this morning. And it fits in with a lot of what was happening at Faith Camp. The message of grace came from Pastor Colin. And another key talk that he really gave was who defines, or what defines, you as the person you are. I can't remember now what night it was. It was right near the beginning. What defines you as the person you are? And he went through a whole list of things. And I'm not going to repeat that now. And if you haven't heard it, I think that was, again, was a very key sort of basic, classic Kingdom Faith talk. But he said a lot of what he was coming from was a lot of Christians, even, they get their identity or the of who they are as a person from the circumstances that are around them. So when the circumstances are good, they're having a good time. And when the circumstances are bad, they're having a bad time. But is it that that really defines us? He looked at that sometimes it's our opinions that define who we are. You know, you're a real strong Labour supporter or something like that, and it becomes who you are. It becomes your identity. But is that where a Christian should get their identity from? What about a lot of people get their identity from their sin or their failure, and they carry it around and they're bowed low because they feel that they're, because of their sin and their failure, they feel unacceptable to the Lord or unacceptable to be a Christian, or it's impossible for God to use them because they've made so many mistakes. It becomes their identity. But is this the identity God has for us? He talked about some get their identity from the culture. They identify with a particular style of dress or music or the fact that they're retired. And they enter into a retired culture of doing what you want, when you want, how you want, if you want. That's a good one. But is that the identity of a Christian? No. You can't retire as a Christian. Some people, their identity comes in their handicap. The fact that they have a handicap defines who they are. I'm a blind person, rather than I'm a person who's blind. Sometimes we impose that identity on people, you know. The disabled bloke that comes to church, not just the chap that comes to church, who happens to be disabled. You know? But again, that's not where our identity is. The reason I'm going through this is you'll see it's key for where I'm going to go in a minute. Because our identity comes from this. We find who we really are in this. Not the world, not the circumstances, not other people's opinions, not other people's opinions of us. It's the book. The truth. Amen? That gives us our identity. And that quite clearly says, I am, if you're in Christ, I am a new creation. You might not feel it, you might not believe it, but if you become a Christian, it's true. Yes. Amen? It doesn't matter what you think. Who gives a fig what you think? Yes. Let's go with the word, shall we? Yes. Amen? And sometimes when Christians come to me and say, oh, I don't know if I'm a new creation or not, I don't care what you think. I'm going to give you what the truth says. What's the point of going with what you think? God's a lot better than you are. Yes. And so people get so caught up with their own thinking that they get trapped in it. I am a new creation. I am not defined by my opinions or my circumstances or my walk with God or any of that. I am a new creation. And it says the old has gone, the new has come. And if any of that old starts surfacing back up again, I'll just stamp it back down again because I'm not carrying it around. The old is gone. The new has come. And what happens is, though, and this is where the talk's going to go this morning, because we're moving forward, we're advancing. Yes? And another area that Clive talked about on one night was about us advancing in God, and Pastor Clive picked up on it as well. And there was even a call forward. It was when I was upstairs doing the live streaming bit, but there was a call forward, and I missed it, but in terms of exactly what was said. But it was kind of like Pastor Colin was saying, and church leaders, you get down here because God's revealing things to you as leaders that the enemy would use as you advance forward to come against you. And this morning, I'm going to reveal to you what the Lord said to me this morning of one of the little things that the enemy would try and do. So that's good, isn't it? So we'll all be forewarned, and you can spread the word that that's what's going to happen. Well, it probably won't even bother happening now, but it might creep in here and there. And because the enemy doesn't want his church to advance. He certainly doesn't want any of God's people to advance. Because when we advance, we take territory from him. All right. When the church advances, people's lives get changed. All right. The church advances and families get restored. The church advances and marriages don't break up. The church advances and children don't get abused that would have been abused. And children and families that are broken and are abused can be put in a position of restoration. Amen. So it's important that as a church we do advance. It's important that as a church we do change. It's a travesty in the world when the church is comfortable. All right. We've got a lovely little church, haven't we? We don't really want any more people because we might not be able to know everybody. I tell you, when you're in a church where everybody knows everybody, it's dead. All right? Because a church should be constantly growing and you should be constantly needing to find out who the names are until you get to a point where actually it's impossible.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right? That's the vision God has big.
Yes.
You know, you shouldn't know everybody in Kingdom Faith Yorkshire in a few years. It should be impossible just about. We'll still try. We'll still do our best, and we'll have closer circles of friends that we're really with, and we'll be welcoming to everybody coming in. But it will get impossible. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Amen.
But sometimes that's a bit of a challenge, because if you're like me, I want to know everybody, you know? And you feel like, oh, it's not as close as before because I don't know everybody. But we're still one in Christ. Yeah? We're still one in Christ. Our identity comes from the Word, and the Word says that we are one in Christ. Not what we feel like, not what our opinions are, not what our circumstances are, not where we come from. And so Clive was talking about the church moving forward. He used the passage from Numbers where it talks about the Israelites going through the desert and following the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Yeah? And he was saying, you know, it's just like that as the church. You just settle down. You're just getting sussed. You've just worked out what you're doing and bang, God's off again. Hallelujah. And, you know, some of you are thinking, 2 years ago, we had a meeting at this nice little place called Lamplugh House where we didn't have to carry the equipment in. We knew what we were doing and what we were going on about. And suddenly this chap came in, Pastor Paul Abel, and he gave us 3 weeks' notice and we were off to Scarborough. And now he's talking about change again. See, you've got a church of believers when you're cheering because there's change. Hallelujah. Not change because we just go, oh, we must change it. Can't keep doing the same old thing. No, that's rubbish, that is. It's just change because you're following the new. You're following God and God's saying, right, we'll move on. We're moving into something new. And we're moving into a time of increasing growth. And the structure and the way our church is run at the moment is giving us the size and the number of people in the church that we have at the moment. And we don't want to grow as a church just to, oh, what a big church we are. We want to grow because that's people getting saved. Amen. And that's lives getting changed. Amen? And we've all got that passion to see that happen, haven't we? Yeah? Oh, this is a good church. We're going to refuse to stay where we are. Pastor Clive was very naughty at one meeting. He absolutely wound everybody up. I was one of them. Because it was so annoying. But he really... And I won't do it to you this morning. I shall spare you. Okay? But he said... everybody got nice and comfortable. And you know what it's like at Faith Camp? You've got your bags and your books and your coat and your umbrella and your... whatever. And you've just got settled. You've got your legs crossed simultaneously along the row so that there's no clashing. Everybody's got their shoulders just balanced just right so you can fit. Because we must admit the chairs are not as comfortable as these, are they? And anyway, so you've just got the right. And he says, right, everybody stand up and go and sit in another seat. So everybody sort of laughs. Ha, 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 ha. This is fun, isn't it? Some people move one seat along. Everybody sits down, puts their Bibles back, crosses their legs all simultaneously, gets their shoulders right in order, gets their notebook, their pen ready, writes, Faith Camp 2009, Pastor Colin Urquhart speaking. Pen poised for notes, and Pastor Clive says, everybody stand, let's change seats. And this time there's not quite so much enthusiasm, but everybody does. And then everybody gets settled down, goes through that whole routine once again, and then he says, well, guess what's next? Everybody stand up. This time there's positive groaning in the place, especially on the front row. But everybody changed it. And I can't remember how many times he did it. Four, maybe? And every time, it just got a bit more... But he was trying to make the point. We're called to change. We're called to be flexible. You know? And we don't want that attitude in our spirit that we're getting because we're getting comfortable, ready for the bit of input. We don't want to be a comfortable church where we come to church on a Sunday to get a nice little word that we can make notes of in our notebook and then we can go home. You know, it should be that the word coming from the front here goes boom into you, challenges you to your socks or excites you to your ears. You know, it's something that comes in and says, oh, all right, oh, no. You know, and sometimes it does make you feel like we felt a faith camp. I don't really want to move again, but we still moved. Amen. Yeah? Yes. Hallelujah. It's time to advance against the enemy. And as we advance against the enemy, it is important to know what he's up to. I am dotting around so many different talks here from Faith Camp. I hope it's making sense. It's like pulling out some bits and pieces, really. Back to Sunday morning and the Wibble Wobble talk. So I talked about being seated in heavenly places. And this is also very key for where we are. All right? We haven't forgotten about the enemy. But seated in heavenly places, because we mustn't try and do anything ourselves. It's a question of, right, God is on the move, so what we have to do is sit down. Why does God have us seated in heavenly places? Because if we got up, we'd try and organize heaven for him. Yes. He just wants us sat there. You see, you can be busy in all kinds of ways, some which are more obviously of the flesh and some which are not obviously of the flesh. I talked about the me wants warrior and the God, the me wants monster and the God wants warrior, because it was, you know, all the children there on Sunday morning. But Alex and Ben are here, so not really children anymore, are you? The mighty men of God. Anyway, just a quick recap for those that weren't here. Me wants monster is much more easily identifiable as someone who's not seated in heavenly places, because it's all me wants. Me wants this, me wants that, me wants a new computer, me wants a car, me wants a friend, me wants attention. Me. Okay, get the picture. And they're smelly, green and hairy. That's also important. You can't always spot that though so easily. But if you're ever in a me want mode, and we all get them from now and then, just remember you're big, green, smelly and hairy. Okay, over this side though, you get the me wants monster in disguise. Now the me wants monster in disguise looks like a God wants warrior. Because the God wants warrior is the person sat in heavenly places doing what God wants. But the me wants monster in disguise is doing what looks like what God wants, but actually it's still me wants. Me wants to preach the word. Me wants to be a leader in the church. Me wants to go to Bible college. Me. And they're still big, green, ugly, hairy, and smelly. Green's very important. We had a little kid up on stage acting this out. I kept telling him, no, look more green than that. I can't think why he looked puzzled. Anyway. Me wants monster. Me wants monster in disguise, but the true God wants warrior, which is us, is sat in heavenly places. They know they're a new creation. They know the old is gone. They know the new has come. And you sit in heavenly places. And it says you're sat in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. The picture really is like you're sat in the lap of God. You're sat on his lap. It's a place of intimacy. It's where we're going with days of favor, if you like. I see most of that. I'm sure there'll be some loud times. But most of that for me, I just see as seeking the Lord, you know, soaking time. Amen. You know, a lot of it will be just quiet. But it's got to be like that. It's that quiet, intimate time. But that's what seated in heavenly places is. It's a position, but it's also an experience. It's that spending time with God. You know, if we don't spend time with God, the enemy... It's so much easier for him to get in. You know, the old me wants monster rises up. Even the me wants monster in disguise rises up. That one's much more difficult to spot because it looks like you're being spiritual. That's when the person comes to you and says, God sent to me. God said to me, not sent to me. God said this to me and I've got to do this. And actually it's just the me wants monster speaking. Because they've not spent time sat in God's presence. It's a position of authority. It's a position of power, but it's also a position of intimacy. And you can only get intimacy with time. Yeah? And it's the old-fashioned, you need a quiet time with the Lord, but actually, that's what raises up warriors. Yeah? It's the warrior training session. But even though I'm saying this, this isn't really what God told me this morning to give to you. I mean, it's all part of the package, but it isn't like this is what the enemy's coming against you. Though maybe the enemy... I'm sensing, even as I'm saying this, I think that some of you, the enemy has been robbing you of those times with the Lord. The trouble with good churches, and this is a good church by the grace of God, the trouble with good churches is that you can coast. You know, you get good meetings and you can just sort of keep going. And you don't drop by the wayside and lose your faith completely. You can sort of keep going. But it's not a time for sort of keep going. It's time for rising up. A strange dichotomy of rising up while we're sat down. Hallelujah. That's probably the longest time I've sat and preached. And you're thinking, well, look at the time. How could you still have the main point of the message to come? Because the main point of the message isn't very long. Reading on from being sat, okay, you get to the bit which we've just read about. We are God's workmanship. So we're all God's masterpiece. We're all doing what God wants. good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. I received a letter. I hope I've put it in my pocket. I think I did. Yeah, I received a letter while I was at Faith Camp. It went to Lamplugh House, actually, and Kate picked it up there. And it was probably embarrassed, the poor chap. But this is good works that God has prepared in advance for us. This is making a difference in our town. You know, this is a local nurse in the Queen Margaret's old people's home down the road. I don't know if they call it that these days. It's probably wrong. It just says this. I would like to say a big thank you for arranging and encouraging some of your students to come along. Okay, that was good. You remember the students went and did that. And she says they were all delightful people. And they brought the love of Jesus with them. So presumably this person knows the Lord. But also, underlined double, it says this. And then there's a sentence written, and it's underlined in red. And then there's a red comment written next to it. The red comment written next to it says, "What a gem." And this is what it says in the underlined red bit. Also, double underlined, "I would like to give Jimmy a mention." I told you I'd embarrass you. I have previously asked the Lord to send me a helper in the form of anyone. As this is a very difficult area to serve him in. Along came one of your lovely congregation. You're one of my lovely congregation. Who has an enormous gift with elderly folk. I don't know if you're able, but if possible, please bring him to the front of your church. Oh. I've got to do it. Look, it says here in the letter. It is possible. All things are possible. If possible, please bring him to the front of your church body and get them to give him a round of applause. I bet you didn't know that was coming.
I didn't know. I had a little stomach coming on because it didn't feel right.
Bless you. It says, "I feel in my heart that Jesus would want this." You know? You go, that is living out. He didn't know it was going to come back to church. He's just getting on and doing that. You know, most of the time, that kind of thing isn't noticed. And there will be other things going on. I'm not saying. But it was just such an encouragement, you know, to get somebody's actually bothered to write a long letter to the pastor of the church to say, this guy is making such a difference in this place. Yeah. Amen. So thank you, Jimmy. You're giving glory to God. Very biblical that people see Jesus as we go and serve, you know. So we are Christ, God's masterpiece, created by him with good works prepared in advance for us to do. When Jimmy got saved, God already knew, well, he knew before he was saved, that he'd be going into the Queen Margaret's Fellowship and he would have this effect on the people that are there. Awesome stuff. Amen. Right, but there's the next bit. All right, and this is the bit what we're going to finish with. Therefore, although this is quite a long bit of text, therefore remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by them who call themselves the circumcision, in other words, the Jews, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from fellowship in Israel and foreigners. You weren't seated before you were a Christian. You weren't seated in heavenly places. You didn't have a place of favour with God. You had no position before God. If you felt unworthy, if you felt a failure, if you felt caught in sin, that's exactly where you were. But that's what grace is. It turns that completely around. Paul reminds himself of this, but then says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought right near. In fact, you're sat, as it were, in God's presence. You're sat on the throne with Jesus." All right? "You've been brought near through the blood of Christ," it says here. "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with all its commandments and its regulations." What the picture of is here is of Jew and Gentile being made one in Christ. Okay? And he's saying you're no longer separate people, you are one body. All right? Now this is absolutely key for where we are at the moment, because as you'll just see in the next 2, 3, 4 minutes, this is where the enemy would try and destroy what is happening in Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. All right? That's why it's important for this morning. His purpose, this is God's purpose, was to create in him one new man out of two. There's no division. There's no separation, even though Jew and Gentile came from extremely different places. One came from a long history of descendants, if you like, who have walked with God and who hadn't walked with God. But, you know, the Jews, they've got Abraham and Moses and all the prophets and everything. They had a history, a family history of people who walked with God. The Gentiles had nothing until they were adopted into this and they all became one. In other words, there was no division. And in this one body, reconciled both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. But what you see in the church today, and also this is where the enemy would seek to get in Kingdom Faith, is although we have been made one, the enemy is always trying to sow little tiny bits of division. And sometimes you don't even notice it's going on. Okay? But what he wants to do is try and deny God's word and split people up. Usually he does it by the way he makes people feel. Because our feelings often, although we like to pretend they don't, because we're people of the word, you know, our feelings often determine what we do and what we say. And then when we feel one way and we say something, we start to feed what we feel. And if it was a negative way of feeling and then we speak about the negative feeling increases. So we speak a little bit more and the negative feeling increases. And we end up one big, green, hairy, smelly, me wants monster. I'm glad you're patient with me. You know, as a bunch of adults being told you're big, green, smelly and hairy, you know. But maybe the picture will remain. Jesus, it says, he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Verse 22, in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. Now that is the importance of this one person, one body in Christ. Yes. Because when we are one in Christ, it quite clearly says there, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. God loves unity. Unity is not uniformity. Okay, it doesn't mean we absolutely agree on every fine point. It doesn't mean you've all got to wear gorgeous shirts like mine. Doesn't mean we all have to wear shorts like Brian. This is good news. Hallelujah. But it does mean that we are together in what we believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and everything else we believe the word to be the truth. But let's just flick over to the very last bit we're doing this morning, which is in Galatians, which is very similar. And it's in Galatians 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Everybody happy with that? If you become a Christian, it's like you've put on Christ. We're all little Christs. We're all Christians, literally. There is therefore, doesn't say the therefore, but there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Amen. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What is the promise? It's this book. It's everything contained in here. It's all the words that he's spoken over your life. It's the vision and the promise he's given over us as a church. Amen. But this is the key. We are one body. We are one in Christ. We are neither male nor female nor slave nor free. We are one body. I just sensed this morning as I was listening to the Lord that this is where the enemy would try and get in. And initially, it'd be almost inconsequential little whispers or little thoughts that would happen in our mind that would seek to split us up a little bit. I mean, God has done an awesome work in this church. We are such a diverse bunch of people, you know? We are, aren't we? We're all very different, and we all come from all kinds of different places. But we're all one in Christ. Yeah? And so it's not that we're some people from Bridlington, and some people from Scarborough, and some people from the south of England, and some people from Scotland, and some people from Moulton, and so we're not. Okay, that's a historical fact, but actually, we're now one in Christ. All right? It's irrelevant where you're from. We are one here in this church. There's not the old Lamploo lot and the Scarborough lot and the people that have come in since the church formed. That's all rubbish and actually directly from the enemy. Because as soon as you start to think, oh, there's the people that were once at Lamploo and there was the people that were once at Scarborough and there was the people that used to belong to Kingdom Faith in the 1990s and then there's, you know, and then there's the people that belong to the church in the 1760s and then... And then there's the people that have come to the church from all over the place because God called them here. Yeah, and you start in your mind, you start thinking about separate little groups and suddenly the unity of the body is destroyed. There's one body. It's called Kingdom Faith Yorkshire and we're all in it together. You know? And whether you joined yesterday or 2 years ago, because actually the church as it is now didn't exist before then. Kingdom Faith in Yorkshire did, but the new that God has given us didn't. It's irrelevant. Amen? And you see, this is really crucial with what God is doing with raising up leaders, because it's exactly the same thing. The enemy likes to try and use situations of raising up leaders for people to feel that that's a division. It's the leadership and the rest. Or even, and I didn't get made a leader. I'm never recognized. The enemy loves to use that. Whenever somebody is recognized, whenever somebody like Jimmy is brought to the front and said, wow, look, isn't this great? We got this letter. Very easy for the enemy to whisper in your ear, that's never happened to you. What is the enemy doing? Sowing division. And we really, because God is doing a significant work through us as we trust in him, the enemy will sneak in with this. And I'm sharing it with you this morning so that we can spot it in ourselves and spot it in one another. And let's call one another to account if we start saying things that, even if they're fairly innocuous, and especially if they're not, you say, that's going to bring division. That attitude of we're from different places or different groups or we've got the leaders and the non-leaders. You know, Just before Faith Camp, I announced that Claire would be taking over the leadership of the worship. You know, and it would be easy to think, well, she's only just joined. But she's the one God brought here and anointed her to do that. You know? As he did with me. I've only been here 2 years. Young upstart. Get rid of him. Peter Harvey's not here today. Let's have him. He's been around a long time. No, because Peter's doing what he's called to do, and I'm doing what I'm called to do. Amen? And sometimes that when we start recognizing people and putting them in positions, I hate putting people in positions, but you have to do it to some extent. But when we put Claire there, or we say, oh, Brian's the street angels coordinator. He's another upstart from Perth, of all places. But... what's he doing coming into the church and having a position of responsibility? God sent him. Yes. Amen. Yes. Why is Mike up there playing fantastic stuff on his guitar? Because that's the calling on his life. And he blesses the socks off all of us when he gets his, you know, and he gets carried away in the spirit. And, you know, we all get lifted up in the heavenly places. He's got a fantastic anointing. And if you can't play the guitar, you can't go there. And do you know why he's good? Because he'll practice. Yes. Why can he play these special parts in the songs? Because he's at home and he's learning them. Yes. Yeah. Amen? It's not that he is highly favoured. He's, you know, he's my best friend, so he's going to get all the good jobs. God's chosen him to do that. Yes. And you don't want Chris Birch playing electric guitar. And Joan's not that keen on becoming the new drummer. Oh, she is, sorry. Dan, can you give Joan a few lessons? Hallelujah. But those, Chris and Joan and Mike and everybody else in this room, we are God's masterpiece created in Christ, and God has those works prepared for us in advance. And some of those are leadership positions and some are not. And some of you might be leaders and still not have a leadership position. But it doesn't bring division. We just celebrate what God is doing. You see, you get leaders in a church who have no position of leadership because they use their leadership sort of anointing that's upon them, in the world perhaps more, or just amongst people. You know? I'll embarrass her because she's not here. All right, Judith Anstey. She's not there. No, she's missing. She's doing the washing. Tut, tut. Right. Judith, who's been recognised as not being here. Poor lady. I thought she was next door. I didn't realise she wasn't here. You know, she's one of those people that is having a positive effect in lots of lives. But it's not like we dragged her out the front and said, Judith is going to have a lot of influence in people's lives and we appoint her to that leadership position. She just does it. She just gets on with it. And there might come a time when God says, recognise that and give her a little title, or there might not. All right? With Claire, it was, and will be, because it's September, we change everything. With Claire, it was a recognise her and tell, you know, let people know that's what she's doing. Sometimes it's just practical. But don't let it bring division. There are no leaders and no non-leaders. There's no Scarborians and Bridletonians. There's no Yorkshireites and Sussexites and Aberdeenshireites. There's no old people and new people, and young people and mature people. There's no kids and adults. There's no male and there's no female. There's no Greek, there's no Jew. We are one in Christ. Amen. Amen. And I said that was that really all that bit that I was talking about. Being seated in heavenly places, having authority, work of grace, all led up to that one point, really, just to tell you what God said to me this morning. Warn the people that as you're advancing, this is how the enemy would seek to stop you advancing, really. Division in the church is horrible. And we have to admit, brothers and sisters, that in the past, this church, or the church that was before us, has seen some of that. So we need to be wise. We don't want it to happen again. It's not going to happen again because we've been taught, we've been educated, and we're following God. Amen? But we must be wise. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's have a cup of tea.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.